afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Now, we are going to have a bit of a clue to our topic. Let's hear it. Spice up your life with spicy plants.
Oh, okay. So not the Spice Girls.
No.
Oh, because I really like ginger spice.
Oh, yeah, she was the best.
All right. Well, let's do it then.
Okay.
Spice it up.
What do we know about plants that give us spice? I mean, we talk so much about herbs, but I think we lack a bit of spice.
Well, at the end of the day, spices do come from plants.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's a fact. I Googled it.
Yeah.
It's not just, it's not plastic
no.
that we've, you know. Oh, well, hang on a minute.
Not
who knows?
It's artificial flavouring and colouring.
But, yeah, it's defined as a seed, fruit, root, bark, or other plant substance, which is primarily used for flavouring, colouring, or preserving food. Herbs, by contrast, are the leaves, flowers, or stems of herbaceous plants.
That's right.
That are used for flavouring or...
I was trying to get my head around what's the difference between herbs and spice, and I think in a nutshell, yeah, herbs, the leaves.
They have to come from,
stems,
I think the general rule of thumb is, yeah, it's got to be a herbaceous, meaning a plant with leaves or a bush.
Okay.
That's what I always thought of herbaceous.
I kind of think, oh,
what's your...
green leaves, stems,
yeah.
flowers, herbs, everything else. Spice.
And the other difference between spices and herbs is that when you use a spice, generally speaking, you need to put it in during the cooking process, whereas herbs, it's normally towards the end.
Oh, like as a garnish.
Yeah, more so, whereas often you'll spice up your meat or whatever you're cooking and you'll let it sit there for a while and infuse. Because,
okay.
and there's a chemical reason for this, if you're interested.
Yes.
Spices are mostly derived from volatile oils.
Okay.
Most of the spiciness, although
yes.
there are other chemical compounds. And these oxidise and evaporate when exposed to air, which is why you have to store them in cool, dark places.
Okay.
And grinding a spice will greatly increase its surface area. And this increases rates of oxidation
yeah.
and things like that. So as a general rule, because they are fat soluble and have these volatile oils, it takes a bit more time for them to infuse into the food.
Oh, I see.
That's the
so you
that
add
chemical.
Before.
Yeah.
Although it's probably there's exceptions to that rule.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
Like I put pepper on... as in salt and pepper.
Yeah.
At the end, yeah.
But that's more of a garnish rather than an infusion
okay.
spice. But, yeah, it can get quite technical. You're right, Selena.
Well,
but I studied chemistry till quite late
yes.
in my education. So fat-soluble and water-soluble. Water-soluble compounds are usually much quicker acting, whereas fat-soluble... You think of oil and fat.
Mm-hmm.
And water.
Yes, they don't mix.
Oil, yeah. And yep. oil will move a lot slower
yes.
if you run it down a hill than water. So it's quite similar sort of thing. So they're just, yeah.
Okay.
Oils take a bit longer to infuse than, say, a...
My brain's just getting around that.
yeah.
Okay.
Put simply. So, yeah. But spices can be, are usually dried, but they can be used fresh.
That's
like ginger?
Yeah, yeah.
Is a good example?
Ginger is used a lot in Chinese cooking as, one of
yeah.
the main spices along with, and garlic because they say garlic's a herb, but it is used as a spice.
Yeah. And ginger, they use it a lot in things like chai. What's that? Is that Chinese? Where does that
That's
originate
Indian.
From? Indian. So the ginger, yes, the Indians use ginger a lot.
Talking about India, okay, mm-hmm. I had In my research, I looked at like the top spice producing countries, and India is the top. Have 15% of the world's spice.
Really? Yeah. I got a lot higher than that. It once used to be the majority of spice came from Asia and Africa, and then you got the famous spice routes, like around the port of Cape Town and all that. It was like basically one of the world's most significant currencies, the spice trade.
Yeah.
I found this information on Wikipedia. 75% India contributes to the global spice. You got 15. That's quite a – can you help, please?
Yeah, I was like, maybe that was a typo in that book that I read.
Oh, you got yours from a book. Oh, well, there you go.
Well, okay. It could have been Wikipedia's typo.
who's
right?
Or maybe
here.
You just read it wrong, or I read it wrong, because a seven can look like a one. But anyway, the point is that I think India is the major spice provider these days.
Yes.
And that's going to bring me on nicely to my plant of the week later, or plants. I've decided on a couple.
Okay. Just speaking of India, because as you know, Indian food is very spicy,
mm-hmm.
and they love their spices. They're always grinding up spices for their curries and everything. And they do have a whole philosophy around using spices for your health, like your medicine,
mm-hmm.
called Ayurveda.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And so that each spice has its particular property, and so they know what to use for certain ailments, or to increase your energy, or to calm you down, to restore you, all those sorts of things, just like herbs. But
the other thing is with the use of spices, they're also used as a form of preservative.
Yeah.
And especially in, you know, older times, they were used as, to help preserve foods that, you know, obviously they didn't have fridges and freezers.
Yeah.
There was that. And what was the other one? Of course, health benefits. But let's, you know, a lot of the elite and monarchs used to crave spices and would send, you know, expedition teams out to go and source the best.
Yes.
And then, you know, bring them back and put them in their wines or whatever. So it was also a bit of a luxury as well.
It's fascinating.
Well, it still is. I love a nice spicy.
The history of spices around the world, that because they enhance the flavour of your food, they increase the vitamin content. Without spice, I mean, our food would be very bland.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I mean, the spice of life.
Exactly. So thank you, Spice Girls, for encouraging us to spice up our life.
Yeah.
I mean, they come from Britain where the food is, you know.
probably needs the old shepherd's pie needs a bit more maybe cumin.
Butter chicken chips or something.
I've spent a few, you know, evenings late in the town, some towns in England, and they've got some great curry houses, you know, open up late.
Just going into a bit of the history there, because I found it so fascinating, I wanted to share it. And so the earliest use of spices, according to one source that said 1600 BC, and saffron was a very
It was like the spice gold.
Gold, basically.
Yeah, saffron friends.
In Greece. And so all the trading spice routes, they all wanted to get that spice.
It
was just so valuable.
Yeah, yeah.
And going into the 15th and 17th century, a couple of hundred years ago, they had actually a spice war.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I was wondering, actually.
In Sri Lanka, it was called the Isle of Cinnamon.
Yeah.
So they were really wanting to get cinnamon.
Yeah.
And so the country's just fought over.
Well, I mean, can you imagine your cupboard without cinnamon? Do you have cinnamon?
Yeah, I have cinnamon.
Yeah, if I would fight for it.
Yeah. And so countries wanted control of what they called the spice islands, especially in places like Indonesia. They had nutmeg, and that was also worth its weight in gold.
Oh, right.
So I don't know if New Zealand has its own particular spice that we could, you know.
I'm pretty sure that our indigenous people would have had use certain things to spice up their foods.
I'm going to ask Joanne about that
next episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. I think there's certain berries that certainly will spice up a meal, some of the native berries. Mm. I know that kawakawa has a real peppery taste to it. I actually used some last night in my cooking.
Oh, good.
Don't need much, just a small leaf.
Yeah.
Is enough for me. But, yeah, that'll be interesting. She'll know all about that.
Karen, I thought I would share with you, I'm not sure if I'm actually allowed to on the radio, but I'm not going to give the quantity so you won't know. These are 11 herbs and spices.
Oh.
For a certain kind of chicken.
Are you for real?
Hey, I was given this information.
Okay. That should be under padlock and key there.
You tell me which one is a herb and which one is a spice.
Okay.
Okay, salt.
Spice.
Thyme.
Herb.
Basil.
Herb.
Oregano.
Herb.
Celery salt.
Spice.
Black pepper.
Spice.
Mustard.
Spice.
Paprika.
Spice.
Garlic salt.
Spice.
Ground ginger.
Spice.
And white pepper.
Spice. Did I get 11 out of 11? Right.
Well, some of them could be both, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But, yeah. So that is the 11.
Do I get a gold star?
I don't Ms. have any on me at the moment, sorry.
I'll hold you to that.
Okay, so those are a few that, those
so
11
herbs and spices. So if we mix that up, we're guaranteed to have some beautiful fried chicken.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to try that out. Which means, guys, you're going to have to listen to that podcast again and get your pen out, okay?
Okay, what ones can we grow at home, though?
Well, this is what I actually wanted to talk about a bit with my – we normally just do one plant of the week, but I thought I'd just mix it up a bit today because I found some quite interesting information on a website called naturallylivingideas.com. I liked that name as soon as I saw it. I was like, oh, yeah, this sounds good, got to be good. So – most spices naturally grow in the tropical and subtropical parts of the world, making it a bit of a challenge for us, although we are probably subtropical. But, yeah, definitely a bit more of a challenge to cultivate them in those temperate regions. So, but this website said the heated interiors of our homes can comfortably accommodate some low-growing spices such as ginger and turmeric. So we could, I reckon, get away with it.
If it was a sheltered or a greenhouse or
at least
something.
Give it a go.
Yeah.
Because I think we just sort of fall into that, oh, that's India's domain.
Yeah. Are they
keeping their spices
under wraps or something? They don't not seem readily available.
It's a bit like my argument for why do we have to source eucalyptus oil from I've seen eucalyptus grow quite easily here.
Ginger grows so wild in other forms in Auckland.
Why wouldn't normal
ginger grow
so
here?
So I'm going to give our listeners some information if they would like to try that one out. So this is how to grow ginger. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So ginger is often referred to as a ginger root, but it is the fleshy underground stem of rhizome. I wonder if that was supposed to be all rhizome, sorry. Of the perennial plant called Zingiber officinale.
Yep.
Does that sound right?
Zingiber.
Hmm. I was wondering if that was a typo. Never said that word. But yes. So, yeah, it's not actually, it's a rhizome?
A rhizome and a fleshy root.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, then I suppose that is. It's a stem rather than a root.
It's more of a stem, swollen stem.
So ginger is a good one. It is said to have anti-inflammatory effects. It is blood sugar lowering. It can aid with indigestion and can reduce menstrual pain, just to name a few things.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what you do. Fill a large tub with rich, well-draining potting mix. And then you lay several pieces of 1 to 2 inch pieces of ginger with sprouting eyes about 10 centimetres apart on the surface of that potting mix. So you've had sprouting ginger in the cupboard. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just those little green bits that start if it's been in the cupboard a bit too long. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're good to go. So don't throw them away or...
Yeah.
Then you cover with an inch of sand. And then you press down firmly, and then you keep the tub in a well-lit area and fertilise regularly. And then you dig it into the soil, and then you just break – you dig into the soil and then you break off the rhizome as you need it.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't sound so bad, does it?
It doesn't sound hard because you're not growing it for the leaves or anything. You're growing it for the rhizome.
I'm quite tempted to give that a go, maybe next summer when it's warm.
Yeah.
It's been quite – cool having hot
weather.
That doesn't even quite cool here. Anyway, it's been because a lot of plants that I normally wouldn't do that great with seem to be just flourishing quite nicely, and then others not so well.
They're calling it an Indian summer, so.
Yeah, so relentless.
We need to get some plants from India.
So we should make the most of this new sort of climate we're experiencing. So how are you going time-wise? Have I got enough time to discuss, or did you want to discuss one?
Well...
Because I do have a couple of others.
Well, speaking of plants that we already seem to grow that are spices that you might not have considered. So we do grow garlic. We can grow garlic here.
Yeah, easy.
We can grow coriander. Mm-hmm. So you can use the leaves as a herb. And the seeds
as a, yes.
Yeah. So that is quite a common one that is easy to grow.
Mm.
And also there's mustard. I think a lot of people grow it for its green manure.
Yes.
But you can also grow it for the seeds.
Or they grow it for like microgreens.
Yes.
Mustard. Yeah. But you can actually grow it for the seeds and then dry the seeds and then make a yummy condiment.
Yeah.
Mustard condiment out of them. Easy.
So those were a few that are quite common and easily grown as plants.
Mm.
But there's all these other ones that are a bit rarer and you're thinking, could I actually grow that here? So what did you have?
One of the rarer ones, there are a few that we don't use so much these days. One of them that came to mind was mace. And I'm not talking of, maybe it does harm people if used in a certain way.
Like pepper spray. No.
It's like nutmeg. It's very, very similar tasting and looking to nutmeg.
I don't think I've ever
I've actually got some because I've got an Indian store down the road that I go to and they've got all the treats. Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought I'd give that a go and it's yummy.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's not a common one. And there's a few that, I can't remember now, but that was one that struck me and I thought, I've got that. Did you have any that are not so...
Apparently wasabi can be grown, it said, it would grow in the mountain ranges of New Zealand and that's where they might be cultivating it.
Yeah.
So, I don't live in the mountain ranges.
It's a type of horseradish, isn't it?
Yeah, it is So I don't know if you can grow horseradish. I don't know anyone who really grows it. But that's one that's easier to source.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, try wasabi.
I wonder if that would, is a horseradish, or let's just say, is horseradish a type of radish?
It is a type of, you use the root.
Yeah, so radish is a root
vegetable. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is a bit spicy.
It is spicy.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Well, did you want to try, I've got two here for how to grow, turmeric or cumin?
Oh, yes, tell us about turmeric because that's kind of the very in spice at the moment.
It is, yes. And it's the hardest thing about, according to this naturallivingideas.com website, is actually sourcing a fresh...
Growing seeds.
What do you call it? Have you ever seen turmeric...
I don't really know what
that's
plant
before
looks
it's
like.
Been spiced, like ground.
No,
into it's really. I've seen it at my Indian store that I go to, they sell it. It's like a big hunk of bright yellow wood that's covered in.
Interesting.
You hold it and your hand turns yellow.
Is it like the bark of the turmeric?
I think it must be a bark. I'll read it to you anyway.
Okay.
It's got antimicrobial, anti-tumour properties. And I just think it makes so many dishes, because it's so bright and yellow, look so pretty.
Yes.
So there's that too.
Okay.
So growing turmeric obviously is a bit of a challenge because it is more often sold and used in its dried form. However, if you can get the few pieces of, they're calling it a rhizome. So maybe those hard pieces I saw in the shop were completely dried.
Okay.
I wonder, because ginger doesn't go completely hard like that. It goes kind of.
You can dry ginger, and people use the dried ginger.
Does it go like rock hard?
Yeah, it can go hard. Yeah.
All right. So if you can source a fresh piece of rhizome to start with, awesome. You're good to go. You just stick the pieces of turmeric into tubs or pots, again, well-draining potting mix. Cover with an inch of soil rather than sand, which is what they said for ginger, and water well. Provide plenty of light, so it's got large leaves. So large leaves will require lots of light. That's the general rule of thumb there. And then they have to emerge and have a lush green look. And when that happens, I think your turmeric is ready to be hacked into. So you dig down and there it is.
Okay.
So it's actually not difficult. I don't think these things are like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not too much of a challenge.
No.
Honestly, if I can get things growing.
Find a turmeric.
So if anyone can source us some fresh underground turmeric,
we want to try it. Yes, please email gardenplanet.
I'd like to give that a go.
Yeah, I would.
I'd be really interested to see if it looks really, really like that yellow, under, like fresh.
Yeah, it has that really bright
You
colour.
Certainly wouldn't have any problems finding it in the soil. It's like, oh, it struck gold.
And what's your other plant there?
The other one I mentioned was cumin.
Oh, yes.
This is Mediterranean native. Latin word is cuminum cyminum. Do you say Latin like with a, like the C's like k or s? I'm never going to know, because apparently they're taking Latin out of the curriculum altogether.
I never studied Latin. I'm sorry.
We should have.
We should have.
I think it's an important one.
We need to ask gardeners.
So I really apologise if I shambled that up. So it can be easily grown outdoors in even moderate climate zones. So there's hardly any reason to grow it indoors unless you are short of gardening space. Okay?
Okay.
Sow the seeds either in large pots or out in the garden in a sunny location. It sounds a bit like coriander. Keep the soil moist but allow for good drainage. Once again, good drainage. And the plants take about 5 months from sprouting to harvest.
Okay, sounds pretty easy.
Harvest the flowers just prior to the fruit falling. Didn't realise. Okay.
Okay.
Cumin fruit.
Maybe
it's a seed.
Or a berry or something, maybe.
Dry them in large paper bags until the fruits fall off.
Okay.
And then next, dry in the sun and clean by winnowing. Winnowing is that process
where you kind of just
shake out the seeds.
Yeah.
Cumin is often used to temper spice mixtures, although its flavour, because it's quite a mild spice.
Yes, I like it.
Yeah, I like it. Its flavour can be enhanced through roasting if you wanted to.
Yes, and we'll get to like grinding and roasting and toasting. That's something you ideally want to do it fresh to get the most flavour. That's what all the Indian cooks do.
Yeah,
they're constantly grinding.
Oh, yeah. I know, I did an Indian cooking class once, night class, and, yeah, you spend the majority of your time preparing the flavours. You know, the actual cutting up the chicken and cooking the Oh, sometimes you'll have them simmering for hours. Yeah. But yeah, it seemed, I constantly felt like I was like getting out my mortar and pestle.
So
it is like,
you
yeah.
want to like remove your stress, yeah. get out the mortar yeah. and pestle.
Yeah,
and
it's
away.
Fun. Yeah, but it's not fun if you've only got like 10 minutes to feed the family after a long hot day at work and you're like, yeah, that's, it's like, yeah, pull out the recipe book. All right, okay, guys, let's grind up 30 different spices. You go, yeah. I can't even think right now.
Instead of, hurting each other and
but it is, it's a fun
let's
thing to
spice.
Do. Yeah. Keep the kids busy. Let's grind some spices. But, yeah, it's such a fun thing to do if you're into that. It's really rewarding and yummy. You really do notice the difference.
Yeah.
I think we should pop up. I'm going to pop up. Can I put on one of my recipes that I got from this Indian?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do it. It's really simple, this one I'm thinking of. Yep. I reckon we'll cope with it.
Mm. So how is your spice cupboard looking? Do you look at it in a new way? Thinking, I could actually grow that and that and that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I often think, you know, with a lot of the this coronavirus where a lot of our trade routes are being... Well, you've got to think about these things. Like, I think we're going to have to start thinking about doing things more ourselves a bit in order to, not just because, I don't want to catch the virus, but it's a sustainable way of doing things. We don't need to import everything. Gosh, I'm starting to sound like Trump. But, you know, I kind of agree with that. Like, you know, do we need...
Okay,
pepper. So, yeah, give it a go, guys.
I'm just going to mention pepper because it's, like, the most popular, mostly used one in the entire world.
Yes.
Why can't we grow pepper? So pepper.
Never thought of it.
Pepper is actually a vine, I found out.
Really?
A tropical vine.
That's crazy. It's a spice I use every day and I've never actually thought about it.
And the seeds are, the fruits are like little berries and then you dry them and they're the peppercorns, right?
Oh, so the peppercorn
is
a fruit. Now, our definition is spice, seed, fruit, root or bark.
I never kind of thought of it
that
way.
I thought it was a seed.
It's like the dried berry.
Yeah. That is a really spicy berry.
Yeah, and it's called the king spice because it is the king spice.
Yeah.
It's the mostly used spice. So it does grow in tropical regions and the rainforest. And it says here Malabar coast of India, where most of it comes from. But why not, if we could source it, we could grow peppercorn.
Where did they say it's mainly sourced from?
India, off the Malabar coast.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know when we often, I've never been to India.
Yeah.
But I often think, oh my gosh, there's actually parts that are not hot.
Yes.
Someone told me the other day, an Indian man, who's actually, from there, said it even snows in some parts there.
It's such a varied climate.
So maybe we could do that.
Plant. Hunting expedition to
vines
India.
Like sun, don't they? I don't know. We need to look at vines. Yeah. That's another topic.
Okay. All right, people. We hope that was helpful for you and maybe try and get some chicken going with those spices.
Yeah. Hopefully we've inspired you to spice up your life a bit and your garden.
Yeah. So happy gardening, everyone.
Good luck with that, guys.
And we'll be back next week and Joanne might tell us about the native spices.
Yes,
so,
good idea.
Bye, everyone.
Ciao.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.